offer to a king. What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When he alone is worthy, a glory song is inscribed upon my heart. This treasure held in an alabaster jar, I break to bring him all the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. What sacrifice could be equal to his own? The cross of Christ has declared that there is naught I owe. Yet I know
Thank you so much for being here tonight in person. Thank you for those who are online. They're on any of our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things so that it helps to get the word out. If you're on our phone live streaming there, also want to encourage you to, if you don't have that number, thank you for being there, but if you don't have that number and you need that number, call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you, or see me after the service. I'll be glad to share that with you. If you're at home and you do have access to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com, go over under the info tab. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today, so be sure to get that downloaded. If you need those in person, they're around. There were some in the windowsills, but I don't think they're there anymore. But at the doors, you can find those, and out in the hallway, you can find those. So be sure to pick up one of those, get it downloaded from the info tab there. The children's worship bulletins are under that info tab. They're in the windowsill to my right, as well as the prayer list is there, and also the newsletter for the month of November is there. Be sure to take a look at that. There's lots of upcoming activities. Want to encourage you to be involved in as many of those things as you can. We've got some mission things that are going on. So while you're there on the church website, I want to encourage you to do your online giving. Just go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do regular offering giving. We're fixing to come up at the end of this month, emphasizing our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and then from then through the month of December. So I want to encourage you to be praying about giving towards that, but you can do your regular offering giving there already. And again, if you did not sign up for Primetimers, this is last call tonight. Looking forward to seeing everybody. If you did sign up, don't forget that it's going to be Tuesday at noon over in the Ministry Center. We're going to have quite a big crowd, so be sure to come a little bit early. There'll be turkey and dressing, mac and cheese, sweet potato casserole, cranberry sauce rolls, different pies and cobblers there, so I want to encourage you to come for that. Also, don't forget National Collection Week, Operation Christmas Child. We've got boxes on the side if you want to grab a box and pack a shoe box. There are some that you'll see on the steps here. Those are not filled. Those are empty. So if you don't want to figure out how to fold one of those boxes to put it together, just grab you one of those, take it home, fill it with the items. There's also a little form that's over by the side there that you can pick up that gives you the suggested items to put in and also those things not to put in. There's some changes for this year of things that you cannot put in. One of those is bars of soap. That's a strange thing there, but it's something different from previous years. So you want to make sure to take a look at that. Make sure you're not putting things in the shoebox that don't need to go in it that are inappropriate for that. And then also don't forget that collection week that we have there. The end of that week, that Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday, we'll be filling the trailers with the cartons of the boxes. So if you can come and help us with that on that Saturday afternoon, evening, or Monday, I want to encourage you to come talk to Miss Terry, talk to Karen. We'll get you plugged in there. I went back and looked at the angel tree. There are four angels left on the tree. If you want to grab one, just encourage you to pick that angel off the tree. On it will be a number, and then on the little table back there, there's another little card. You'll write the number that you chose and write your name on it. That way we know who to come looking for when they don't all return back, and that's always the case. And there's also a bag that's there, a red and black checkered bag for you to grab to fill also. So be sure to do those two things. Take the little card that you fill out back there with your name and the number that's on it in that little box. And then also the little angel that the card is attached to is yours to keep as a gift to you for doing that, for you can put on your Christmas tree to be reminded to keep praying for those shoeboxes as they continue to go around the world. So that's the things that I had to share with you tonight. Again, pray for Pastor Matt and myself. He's already on his way to Jackson for our Tennessee Baptist Convention. I'll be leaving after this service to head out there also. So keep us in your prayers for the next couple of days as we're out there and coming back on Wednesday morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and share with us.
Good evening. Take your hymnals and let's turn to 406, The Solid Rock. Thank you. Understand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground. ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right, take your Bibles tonight, if you will. Turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And as we've said before, we're going to be going through chapter 11 a little bit slower. There's a lot to cover in chapter 11. Many different biblical characters that we're going to take a look at, that we're going to see from the scriptures here, and we're going to bounce back to the Old Testament passages as we come across each one as it relates to them, and look at their life and how it relates to living a life of faith. And so this no different tonight is our very first biblical character we're going to look at. Comes in chapter 11 and verse 4. I've entitled this message, Faith Makes the Difference. And you're going to see this phrase that we're going to notice here in verse 4 that's going to be repeated over and over and over. Anytime a phrase is repeated or a word is repeated in Scripture, pay attention to it. It means it's important. And you're going to see this over and over and over, literally, as we go through chapter 11. So let's stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. What a powerful word to begin as we get into these biblical characters, to begin here with Abel, who by faith followed you and by faith served you, and Father, by faith was saved. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize this morning or this evening that faith makes all the difference for our lives. Father, I pray that you will teach us your truth of that tonight. May this message go to those also, Lord, who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that they will hear the message of salvation and they would respond by faith to that call upon their lives to salvation. Father, may you bless this word tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, all too often we make great efforts in our lives to be religious. We build monuments, we write liturgies, we create systems of sacrifice, and yet God rejects all of our efforts because of what motivates us, and what so often motivates us is pride. The only religion that God accepts is that is based on faith in His revealed Word. So my desire in looking at this chapter, in looking at this verse tonight, my desire, even for my own life, as I hope it is for yours, is to be a faithful person of God, making the greatest impact that you can for the kingdom of God in whatever days you may have remaining on this earth. That's my hope for my life. And this passage here that we're going to be looking at is what many times many refer to or characterize as the Great Hall of Faith. It's an account of those whose faith made a difference in life. You know, most of the people in God's Hall of Faith are not known or remembered by the world, but God has remembered them And we can benefit in our own lives by getting to know them and copying their faith and living by the example we see in their lives. You know, the first person we see here in this hall of faith, as we've already mentioned, is Abel. Only one verse is given to Abel, but it describes what sets apart a person of faith from a person who comes to God in their own merits, trying to earn their salvation from God. Now, notice who's missing. We always talk about Abel, but who's missing? Cain. Cain's absence from the hall of faith is connected directly to the manner in which he brought his sacrifice. One came in faith, the other did not. When you look at how Abel comes and approaches God and contrast him with Cain and the way he came to God, you'll see something very familiar in these two. Because from the beginning of time to this present day, there have never been more than two ways to approach God. You either approach God in Cain's way, or you approach God in Abel's way. Either we follow the path of Cain, or we follow the path of Abel as he brought himself and his offering to God. But only one of those ways is acceptable to God. Now, Abel was not perfect. He wasn't extraordinary. He was just an ordinary man who trusted God. But that's the point. God is not looking for our ability. He's looking for our availability. He doesn't look for the famous or the flawless. He looks for people who will hear his word and take him at his word and obey his word. And Abel shows us that it's faith, not works, not religion, not effort, that's what makes the difference between acceptance and rejection before God. So there are several things I want you to see from this one verse. I think today's a theme, one verse. Had one verse this morning. I did get through that one verse this morning, so we won't have to carry over to next week with it. The first thing I want you to see is this: faith makes a positive difference in religion. Faith makes a positive difference in religion. If there's one place that today people are most confused, it's in religion. Because you hear a lot of people say, all religions are basically the same. That's from the world's perspective. But that's not true. From God's perspective, there are only two kinds of religion in all the world. There's the religion of Cain, and there's the religion of Abel. One is built on human effort, the attempt to reach God by what we do. The other is built on divine grace, God reaching down to us through what Christ has done. So we want to go from Hebrews 11, verse 4, back to Genesis chapter 4, and see how the story of Cain and Abel unfolds. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 down through verse 5, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So notice some things that are the same. Both brothers bring offerings to the Lord. Both are sincere in what they're doing. Both are religious. They're expressing in some degree here, bringing something before the Lord. But we find that one of the offerings is accepted, the other is rejected. So let's look first at the religion of Cain, although our passage is more about Abel. This will help us as we contrast what happened with Cain to where Abel was faithful and why the writer of Hebrews in verse 4 of chapter 11 points out him as the very first to mention to us that by faith, Abel. So the first thing I want you to see is the religion of Cain. I want you to see that his religion is the way of self-effort. Cain was a farmer. He worked the soil, he planted his crops, he brought God an offering from the fruit of his own hands. No doubt, it was a beautiful offering. Perhaps baskets of fruit, vegetables, flowers, it was the product of his labor. But there was a problem. His offering that he brings, his sacrifice that he brings, was bloodless. Now, when you read over into Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, which we'll eventually get to, it tells us plainly that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Cain's offering is the work of his hands. It's a symbol, if you will, of man's efforts to please God. But God had already shown Adam and Eve that sin could only be covered by the shedding of blood. How do we know that? Well, you look back to Genesis 3 and verse 21. You'll see that verse here. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. For him to offer garments of skins, that skin had to come from something, from an animal, and that animal had to be sacrificed for that skin to be presented to them, for them to cover their nakedness in their sinfulness. And so there was blood that was offered in that sacrifice. So God had already told Abel, because as we find here in Genesis 3:21, he had already told them that sin could only be covered by the shedding of blood. To some degree, at least from what we know, Cain ignored that. He came his own way, and God rejected it. That same spirit of Cain is alive today. It says that I'll get into heaven by being good. I'll just try harder, or I'll clean myself up. No matter how sincere you are, no matter how moral you try to be, no matter how disciplined you make your life, it is still man's way. Religion cannot save. Only a redeemer can save. And that's where we come to Abel. Because look at Abel. The religion of Abel is the way of faith. Somehow, Abel knew how to approach God. Was it his parents who had told him, this is the way you need to do, and maybe Cain didn't follow that? But we're going to find out that Cain has another reprieve here in a little bit when we get to it here. But somehow, he knew how to approach God. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says that he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain and obtained witness that he was righteous. So understand this, both Cain and Abel needed God's righteousness because they were born, like all of us are born, into a world of sin. They were born to sinful parents. They needed to be saved from God's judgment on sin, just like us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says that by one man, who is that one man? Adam. Sin entered into the world and spread to all mankind. And by that sin, we died spiritually. So faith came to Abel by hearing the word of God, at least from his parents, hearing what they had been told, why they had been cast out of the Garden of Eden. And we know that from the scriptures that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, when Abel heard and received the word of God, he determined in his heart he was going to obey that word. Now, no doubt Cain had heard the same message that his parents had shared. But the difference between the two brothers was that Abel obeyed that word and Cain decided to go his own way. Now, there were similarities in how they approached God. They each brought a sacrifice. Notice that Abel, he brought his from his flocks and Cain from his fields. The first sacrifice in the world was the one in which God shed the blood of an animal in order to make those garments of skin for Adam and Eve to wear when they realized they were naked. The shedding of blood was the plan that God had established for covering sin. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, we learn that Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. That means that blood was shed. He offered a lamb, symbolic of the Lamb of God, who would one day take away the sins of the world. So understand this, Abel is not inventing this idea of blood sacrifice. He was acting on faith on what God had already revealed to his parents, and his parents to him. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. So God had already shown Adam and Eve that an innocent sacrifice had to die in place of the guilty. So when Abel offered that lamb, he was saying, I believe you, Lord. I trust in your way, not in my own way. That is true religion, not the religion of human ingenuity, but the religion of divine revelation. And God, we find out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, had regard for Abel and for his offering. So listen carefully. You can be very religious and still be lost. You can show up to church every time the doors are open and still be lost. America is full of religious people who've never met the Savior. The religion of Cain says, do. The religion of Abel says, done. The difference is faith. Faith that looks to the cross and says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Faith makes a positive difference in religion. Notice, secondly, that faith makes a practical difference in results. Go back to Hebrews 11, verse 4. We'll still come back to Genesis here in a moment. So keep your fingers maybe in both places. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. So Abel chose the very best of the firstborn from his flocks. He didn't choose some animal that had defects. He didn't choose some animal that was old and decrepit. He wanted to bring a pure sacrifice, the best that he had offering to God. And God respected that offering and accepted that offering. Now, Abel's actions here reminds us that whenever we come before the Lord in true faith, it has to always be in a spirit of worship. We have to always bring the very best of who we are and what we have to God. And so when we bring all that we are and have to Him and we bow down before Him in praise and adoration, that is true worship. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And we worship Him because we love Him. Now, anybody who doesn't worship God doesn't know Him or love Him as they should. And so when we bring a sacrifice of praise to God, Hebrews 13, 15 tells us it ought to be the best praise that we have. Churches don't have to have a full orchestra, don't have to have a 100-member choir to do that. We don't have to have contemporary praise bands or singing groups of any style or even any choir even to do that, to worship God. What we need is just to come full of praise, full of worship from the heart, and be part of a thoughtful, meaningful, intentional time of praising God for who He is. And that doesn't have to happen just in the four walls of this building. That's how Abel worshiped God, and his worship was accepted. So understand that faith doesn't just make you religious, it makes you righteous. You see, there's only two kinds of people in this world. There are the saved, there are the lost. There are the righteous, there are the unrighteous. And God doesn't divide us by race or by class or by background. He looks at one thing: have you been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ? Now, Romans 3, 23 and 24 tells us that all of us have sinned. There's not one that has not. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So understand, every one of us here tonight, every one of you watching online, has fallen short. Some fall farther than others, but all of us have fallen short. And because God is holy, sin has to be punished. His love longs to save, but His holiness demands justice. So how does a holy God forgive a sinful world? Well, Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 3 and verse 25 to 26, he gives the answer. He says that God put Christ forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And then it goes on to say, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That word propitiation means satisfaction. The blood of Jesus satisfied the righteous demands of God's law. And that's why the cross is so central. If there were any other way to heaven, if it was good works or if it was religion that could save, then you'd have to call what happened on Calvary a mistake. But there's no other way. That's why Jesus says himself in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he goes on to qualify it and say, no one comes to the Father except through me. So faith makes a practical decision that results in righteousness, forgiveness, and eternal life. But I want you to see also that faith makes a permanent difference in the record. Faith makes a permanent difference in the record. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 ends with this beautiful statement. It says, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Think about that for just a moment. Abel has been gone for thousands of years, but his testimony lives on forever. His life was short, but his influence was eternal. Now think about it. Abel's been dead for a long time, and yet he still speaks. How is that possible? Well, the only reason that any person has ever stood in a right relationship with God is because they came like Abel came, by faith, through the shedding of blood. Now, you didn't have to shed your blood. Jesus shed his blood on your behalf. We don't have any record of anything Abel ever said. We only have a record of what he did. And yet his life speaks volumes to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. All the religious efforts that you could put out throughout history have been the efforts of Cain and not Abel. They've been human efforts to please God by some other means than faith, which we know is impossible to do. You cannot please God without faith. So if we'll listen to the faith of Abel speaking to us, you'll hear it saying to you tonight, there is no way to God except by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What we have to do is to empty our hands of all of our sacrifices like Cain would bring and come with only the blood of Christ as our hope. Understand this, faith outlives time. It outlives death. When a man or a woman lives by faith, their voice continues to speak long after they're gone. And let me tell you, faith leaves a legacy. Finally, the final way to see more clearly what Abel accomplished by faith is to view it against the backdrop of what Cain tried to accomplish through his own efforts. So let's dig in a little bit more to what happened with Cain here as we see more about Abel. Understand this, that true faith stands out against religious faith. Cain was the beginning of human religion. Religion, as we said, is man's effort to reach up to God, whereas Christianity, true faith, is God's action in reaching down to us. Religious faith is based on human reasoning. The basic philosophy of Cain was that salvation had to be earned. He brought to God what he had labored over, what he had toiled over, and in so doing did not fulfill the revelation of God to his parents and to him. Cain laid the foundation for every false religion that has ever sprung up among men. What a sad way to come to God, never knowing if you've done enough. When have the works and the efforts of your life ever been sufficient to become pleasing to God? The Bible tells us very clearly, very plainly, that we come to God by faith, not by works. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us. We also know it is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin, and that blood has always been the only covering for sin. So understand, human reasoning can never ever reverse divine revelation. The issue is not what we've done for God, it's whether we've accepted what God has already done for us. Instead of revelation, Cain's religion was based on reason. Secondly, we see about his human religion, his human faith, was based on human strength. Understand this, Cain wasn't rejected because of his offering, but his offering was rejected because of Cain. In other words, his heart wasn't right with God. It was by faith that Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. That's what Hebrews 11:4 tells us. Which means that he had faith in God and was right with God. Abel was. In later years, the law of Moses prescribed offerings of grain and fruit. So if it had been wrong in that respect, that you were never supposed to bring any kind of grain or fruit, then we've got a problem with Leviticus 2 and Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. We have reason to believe that such sacrifices were acceptable from the beginning. But even if Cain had brought animal sacrifices and shed their blood, they would not have been accepted by God because of the state of Cain's heart. Where do we get that picture of where Cain's heart is? Well, you find out just a few verses later what he did to his brother. That wasn't something that he woke up one morning and decided, hey, I'm going to kill my brother. That was a seed that had been planted for months and weeks and years even, probably in his heart, that he had been thinking, how am I going to do this? I want to get back at Abel. Abel brought the best that he had because he truly wanted to please God. But Cain did not have that attitude. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So understand, as we said earlier, just because people go to church, just because people participate in church activities, is no proof that they're true believers. It's possible from the Scriptures to have a form of godliness but never experience its saving power. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says that there were people having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, and Paul says, avoid such people. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." The most costly sacrifice that you could ever give, apart from the submission of your heart, can never make you as a worshiper right before God. Think about it. There are lots of religious people in churches today who think the sacrifices in their own strength, sacrifices of giving their time and their talent and their treasure, that those three things they bring to God each week are pleasing to Him. Their religion is based on human sacrifice, human effort, not divine sacrifice. Notice also that Cain's religion is based on human satisfaction, because human satisfaction doesn't last long, and Cain did not either. As soon as he saw Abel had what he wanted, he killed him. Abel died a satisfied man because he had been accepted by God. Cain went on to live a dissatisfied life because his own efforts failed to get him what he wanted and needed acceptance by God. Now think about this. When God rejected his offering, what did Cain do? Cain became very angry. In fact, the Hebrew word there implies that he was burning with anger. God spoke to him directly. God spoke to him personally. And do you know what God tried to do? God tried to lead him back to the way of faith, but Cain resisted. It's just like the Lord gives us another opportunity to obey him, and it's just like stubborn sinners to refuse his gracious help. The Lord warned Cain that temptation was like a flea, like a fierce beast crouching at the door of his life, and he better not open the door. It was dangerous to carry grudges. It was dangerous to harbor bitter feelings in our hearts, because all of that can be used by Satan to lead us into temptation and sin. That's what Paul meant when he wrote in Ephesians 4:27, and give no opportunity to the devil. If we aren't careful, we can tempt ourselves and bring about our own ruin. Cain's offering was rejected, and his brother's was accepted, and he became angry and killed his brother. He had the opportunity to make things right. Anger is a powerful emotion that can lead to violence and even murder if it's left unchecked. Jesus taught that anger in the heart is the equivalent of murder with the hands. If Cain had listened to God's warnings, if Cain had accepted his gracious invitation, go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm not sure if I put this one in the slides for you to see on the screen, but Genesis 4 and verse 7. The Lord's speaking to Cain. He's asking him, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? And he says this in verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Right there, he's got an opportunity. If you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door like a fierce beast. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. You've got an opportunity, Cain. Cain could have taken that opportunity. Cain could have repented. But he gave that opportunity to the devil. If he had listened to the warning from God, if he had accepted his gracious invitation there in verse 7 of chapter 4, he would have never become a murderer. Now, how soon after his worship was rejected did Cain entice his brother away from home and killing? Was it on the same day? We don't know. Did he brood over it over the matter for a few days or weeks or months? We don't know. He probably murdered his brother in his heart many times, though, before he actually committed the act, because that's the way all of our sin is. It starts in the mind, in the thoughts, in the heart, until it finally comes out in the actions. He was envious of his brother because of his relationship with God. And yet Cain was unwilling to get right with God. He said to him, if you do well, won't you be accepted? Understand this. When we hate others, it's a sign that we're not walking in the light and that we don't have God's love in our hearts. God brings another child into Adam and Eve's life to replace Abel. He brings Seth in to replace Abel and to make a way to bring the promised seed that he had made the promise prior to in Genesis 3:15 into this world. The writer of Genesis creates a striking comparison between the sons of Adam through Cain and those through Cain and Abel's younger brother, Seth. When you look at the list of the names of Cain's line, you'll see Cain and Enoch and Irad and Meshuel and Methuselah and Lamech. And those of Seth's line of Kenan, Enoch, Jared, Mahalalel, Methuselah, and Lamech. In appearance, the two lines descended from Adam bear some striking similarities. But under the surface, they are worlds apart. Both of them had a descendant called Lamech. But Cain's Lamech introduced polygamy into the human race and took vengeance into his own hands. Whereas Seth's Lamech gives birth to Noah, a righteous man through whom life was preserved on this earth. Understand that the only way anybody gets into God's hall of faith is by exercising faith in God's revealed word and his will. That's what Abel did, and that is what we must do if we're to have a faith like his. Nobody walks into the hall of faith or enters the halls of heaven except by faith alone, through grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So faith makes the difference. That's why we read there in verse 4, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel's blood still speaks today. His blood speaks of righteousness that comes by faith, not works. It speaks of grace that saves the guilty through the shed blood of the Lamb. So understand that there are only two ways before you today. There's the way of Cain and there's the way of Abel. There's the way of effort and there's the way of faith. There's the way of self and there's the way of the Savior. Faith makes the difference. It makes the difference in your religion. It makes the difference in your results. It makes the difference in your record. The question is, have we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Not just your belief in God, not church membership, not putting your faith in your morality, but have you put your trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your sins? Because understand this, every one of us one day are going to stand before God, and it will not be about what you've done for him. It'll be about what Jesus did for you. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And though he's been gone for thousands of years, he still speaks. As believers tonight, it is my hope that his faith would continue to speak through you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth that we've heard tonight. Lord, that faith makes the difference. Not religion, not effort, not good intentions, but faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, we have seen that contrast between Cain and Abel, between trying and trusting, between man's ways and God's ways. And Lord, we confess, we have tried to come to you on our own terms. We've tried to make ourselves acceptable by what we do. Even those who are here tonight as believers, we still fall back into those old traps of the flesh, wanting to try to please you by our actions on our own terms, making ourselves acceptable by what we do, rather than just trusting in what Christ has already done. Help us, Lord, to see clearly that only faith in Jesus Christ makes us right with you. So in this moment, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, there may be somebody who's here tonight, somebody who's watching online, who's been in church all their lives, but they've never truly trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's somebody who's here, they've been striving, and they're tired of striving. They're tired of guilt. They're tired of trying to be good enough because it always feels like I can never be good enough, and you never will. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them and show them that Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. And Lord, for those of us who already know you, help us, Lord, to walk like Abel did, to obey you, Lord, to worship you, to trust you completely, to leave behind in this life a legacy, a testimony that still speaks even when we're gone. And none of us know when that day will be, so help us to live every day faithfully so that we're leaving that legacy. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to keep our faith strong. Lord, help our hearts to be full of gratitude. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, because of his shed blood and his resurrection from the grave, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe you're there at home. I want to encourage you to make some comments there just to let us know. You can send us a message. You can send us an email privately if you want so that we can be able to follow up with you. If you're here tonight and you need to make that decision, I want to encourage you to come so we can talk with you more. If you're here tonight and you're a believer and maybe you've not been where you need to be, you've not been trusting God, you've been trusting in your own works to earn God's favor, God's love, understand this, you'll never earn God's love any more than He's already loved you. What more could He do? He's already offered His Son Jesus on the cross for you. He's already rose him from resurrected him from the grave. So would you come tonight as we stand, as we sing, Brother Mike?
275. Miss Gill.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender.
Forward to seeing you Wednesday night. I'll be back by then, so keep myself, Pastor Matt, in your prayers as we're going to Jackson for our Tennessee Baptist Convention. He's already left. I'm fixing to head out here in just a few minutes, so pray for us in traveling there. But we'll see you back Wednesday night. We'll be back in the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Awana's at 5:25 that we start there in here for chapel time, so be sure, or for our council time. Chapel times with our CDC. We'll be doing council time. So come and join us if you can Wednesday night. Again, 5:25 for Awana, 6 o'clock for our worship service in here, or there online if you're not able to get out. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you Wednesday.